A reading from the Acts of the Apostles. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Rise and go toward the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert place." And he rose and went, and there was an Ethiopian, a eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning seated in his chariot. And he was reading the prophet Isaiah. And the Spirit said to Philip, "Go over and join this chariot." So Philip ran to him and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and asked, "Do you understand what you are reading?" And he said, "How can I, unless someone guides me?" And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning with this scripture, he told him the good news about Jesus. And as they were going along the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What prevents me from being baptized?" And he commanded the chariot to stop. And they both went down into the water, Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away. Now our epistle reading is from 1 Corinthians. "For though I am free from all, I have made myself a servant to all, that I might win more of them. To the Jews I became as a Jew in order to win Jews. To those under the law I became as one under the law, though not being myself under the law, that I might win those under the law. To those outside the law I became as one outside the law, not being outside the law of God, but under the law of Christ, that I might win those outside the law. To the weak I became weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all people, that by all means I might save some. I do it all for the sake of the gospel, that I may share with them in its blessings." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to John.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to you, Lord Christ.
Speak, O Lord. Give us ears to hear, eyes to see, hearts to understand, and wills to obey, that we might see Jesus high and lifted up. Amen. In July of 2003, our family moved to Austin. It was the hottest summer on record to date. I just graduated from seminary, and we immediately fell in love with Austin, its beauty, its warmth, its joy, its culture, its need for the gospel. I went on staff at Redeemer Presbyterian Church under Paul Hahn. In November of 2003, Bill Boyd came to the leadership with a group to pitch the idea of starting a new church in West Austin. Redeemer wrestled through the wisdom of beginning a new church. We met as a group of elders for over 40 hours, over a month's time, to deliberate this idea. I wasn't yet a pastor, but I sat in on every single one of those meetings, often lasting until 2 or 3 in the morning. Toward the end of our deliberations, Paul asked me what I thought. I said, If you choose not to plant a church, Redeemer, in a few years from now, will probably be the size that it is. It was about 500 at the time. Really maxed out and couldn't grow much more. I said, if you choose to plant a church, Redeemer will take a hit. But in a few years from now, it's probably likely that you'd have two churches of 500 people or so. I said that God blesses holy risk and that the gospel is not a zero-sum game. Redeemer decided to help start a church, and that church called itself All Saints. And my prediction came true. A few months later, Paul decided to leave Redeemer and to start a new church in Knoxville, Tennessee, and asked us to come along with him. We were in Knoxville for 4.5 years, church planting, and seeing the church through the early stages of just a small group of people beginning in someone's living room to be over 400 people, to buy a building, to start lots and lots of ministries in Knoxville. Toward the end of our time in Knoxville, two of our elders invited our family over to lunch one Sunday afternoon. "We're moving to Peru," said one family. "So are we," said the other. Then they both blurted, "Will you join us in Peru?" A flood of answers rushed through my mind. Most of them were crude. None were thoughtful or helpful. But I'm a pastor, so I gave a pastoral answer. "We'll pray about it." Pray, I knew exactly where those prayers would lead. There was no way that I was going to take my wife, our four young children, especially our sheepdog, to a place that we had never been, a people we did not know, a culture we did not understand, and a language we did not speak. I should have known better. I'm a pastor. I know lots and lots of stories of people being sent to places that they did not care to be. Eventually, Peru was lodged into our hearts and our minds, and we spent 3 amazing but challenging years learning how to live in a different country, learn a new language, and serve among a new people. I fell in love with Latino people and culture and with a more regional ministry that often accompanies missionary work. At the end of our time in Peru, we began to wrestle through what was next. I wanted to continue to serve in similar ways that I was in Peru, and so I pitched an idea to my board to start a pastoral and ministry leader training center, especially among the burgeoning Latino population in the U.S. They loved the idea and encouraged me to begin this either in Florida, California, or Texas. The choice was easy, and we moved back to Austin in November of 2010, and 2011 became the new hottest summer on record. So if we ever move from Austin again, please don't invite us back, because it's guaranteed to be hot. We immediately began to worship at All Saints, and then a few months later, All Saints founding pastor Bill Boyd resigned. The church was hurting and reeling from this news. I had people tell me that they didn't think that All Saints was going to continue, that it was likely that All Saints would shut her doors. I said, "I think that's unlikely, because this isn't Bill's church." I said that Christ is the head of the church and that he's faithful to provide shepherds to his flock. And in God's kindness, he did provide shepherds, and he especially provided a new shepherd in calling Tim to be the senior pastor. And as Tim was putting together his staff, he asked me to consider joining him in a pastoral role. I said that I was already leading some Bible studies, teaching Sunday school, and I remember telling him that I was happy with the ministry that I was doing, that I was happy serving in a volunteer role, and that I would joyfully continue to serve the church for free. He said he wanted me to consider a more formal role, and so eventually I agreed to become one of your pastors. And for the last 6 years, I've loved being a pastor in this place and seeing the ministry of Vita House grow as well. And today is one of the last Sundays that I will serve in this capacity as one of your pastors and my last sermon at All Saints in this role. So I just have a few brief comments from 1 Corinthians 9 for you. A prayer for All Saints from 1 Corinthians 9. The 3 prayers that I have for you are this. 1, that you will pursue your missionary calling. 2, that you will embody the whole gospel to the whole person. And 3, that you will participate in the gospel blessing. Let's look at each one briefly. First, I pray that you will pursue your missionary calling. Paul summarizes this in saying that he's become a servant to all, to Jews, to those under the law, to those outside the law, to the weak, to the poor. Paul, in these verses, establishes the beauty, the wisdom, the breadth of gospel ministry, of our missionary calling, to participate in God's salvation and redemption and reconciliation to all peoples and to all places. And what Paul helps us to understand is that the way in which we communicate and live out the good news of salvation is not a one-size-fits-all approach. There's freedom, flexibility, and even the need to embody the good news in different ways to different people. Christianity, whenever it goes into a culture, always changes that culture in radical ways. But it also allows that culture to keep some of its heritage. Christianity has an extremely flexible methodology. That's why Christianity has gone into the nations and has even translated the good news in the scripture and adopted the customs and practices of the people that it's serving. And so my prayer for you is that you would pursue your missionary calling. Pursue it joyfully, diligently, eagerly, sacrificially, in two ways. The first is in relation to living in an increasingly secular and post-Christian world. This presents inherent challenges to the church, but it also presents beautiful opportunities. We find ourselves in the position of needing to articulate and communicate and live out the good news of our salvation in new and fresh and life-giving ways. We're a more liturgical church. We're a church that celebrates the history and the practices of the church. This is beautiful in many, many ways for many, many reasons. But in executing our worship, our liturgy, our ministries, don't forget your missionary calling. Don't forget to become all things to all people. Don't be afraid to change things up. Don't forget to constantly question if what we're doing is in line with our missionary calling. And as All Saints thinks about its next phase of life, thinks about the possibility of a more permanent sanctuary, don't do this for the wrong reasons. Only do it for the right ones. Only do it if you're driven by missionary zeal. As Austin becomes an increasingly post-Christian culture, seek to grow in your missionary calling. This takes wisdom, prayer, patience. This past week, I had a long conversation with a friend who's a non-Christian. We talked about lots of things, about the difficulty of believing in God in a modern age, about the wisdom of Scripture, about the reality of the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. I challenged my friend to keep pursuing God, to keep asking questions, and especially to do it in and through a church. He said, it's hard. He said, it's hard to find a church that is asking the questions that he's asking, that's wrestling through the challenges and the issues that he's wrestling through. I said, I agree. But that this is the heart of the church's missionary calling, to make known the life and love and presence of Christ to our world, to people like my friend. And so my prayer is that you continue to grow and mature and take seriously your missionary calling in an increasingly post-Christian world. And my prayer is also that you take seriously your missionary calling among and for the nations, especially the nations represented by our burgeoning Latino population in Austin. Taking this calling seriously is hard. It requires learning a different culture, sometimes a different language. And that's difficult. It takes work and perseverance and time and patience. In your missionary zeal, don't forget that our city and our country is changing rapidly. In 1970, Austin was 13% Latino. Today, it's about 35% Latino and continues to grow rapidly. And friends, All Saints is positioned beautifully to love and serve and welcome our Latino next-door neighbors. We're doing this in some side-door ministries currently through partnerships like Side by Side Kids and Mujer Virtuosa. Over time, I hope that there might be a way for All Saints to open wide her front doors in gospel hospitality and welcome to our Latino neighbors, through a worship service that's more culturally sensitive to them. I also hope that All Saints will invest significant funds in planting churches amongst Latinos all over Central Texas. So pursue your missionary calling by not forgetting that you live in a growing post-Christian city and in a growing Latin city. And God will give you the wisdom and the grace and the resources to do so well if you seek him. Second, my prayer for all saints is that you'll embody the whole gospel to the whole person. The gospel isn't just about individual salvation. It's about corporate and cosmic salvation as well. It's the good news that in life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, that his life, his love, his salvation, his reign, his peace, his kingdom is more and more breaking into his good world, and that he's using the church, as broken and as weak as we are, to fulfill his purposes. So embody the whole gospel, the good news of individual and corporate and cosmic salvation, the good news of our renewed relationship with God, of our renewed relationship with others, the good news of spiritual and material and physical flourishing, the good news of Christ's person to the whole person, to our sexual, spiritual, relational, emotional, political, cultural, financial struggles. Embody the good news that the gospel breaks through every barrier that we erect as a culture between rich, poor, black, white, educated, uneducated, liberal, conservative, and the hope and the reality that God is making a new people who are united to him and united to one another in Jesus. So embody the good news of the gospel in your worship, especially around Christ's table, in your ministries, in your men's, women's, youth, children groups, in the more acute groups like sexual recovery or dementia care or infertility care. Embody the gospel in everything that you seek to do as a community. Don't let a style of worship, don't let a particular teaching, a particular ministry, reaching a certain demographic, or even building a building, become the center of your life together. Make Jesus and his gospel the center of your life, because only Jesus is big enough and good enough and wise enough to keep you and care for you. So pursue your missionary calling. Embody the whole gospel to the whole person. And third, my prayer is that you become participants more and more in gospel blessing. Paul says that his missionary zeal is for the sake of the gospel in order to share in its blessing. A few years ago, my wife Robin was driving home with our youngest Owen, who at the time was 2, and she said these words into her phone, "Siri, text Josh to get milk." From the back seat, Owen replied, "Siri, text Josh to get chocolate milk." Owen, without knowing this as a 2-year-old, was wondering what kind of father I am. He was getting to the heart of my character, and he was questioning my very nature and being. Little did he know how existential and philosophical he was being. But he was wondering, am I a dad who does the bare minimum? Or am I a dad who loves to be generous? Am I a dad who loves to give good gifts to my children and show them in many ways how much I love them? Am I a dad who brings home milk, or a dad who brings home chocolate milk? On this day, thankfully, I passed the test, and I brought home some chocolate milk, and we had a chocolate milk party. Friends, we worship a God who's loving, gracious, generous. He's not stingy in his love for us, but lavish. He gives good gifts to his children. He gives us chocolate milk. And that's what he's done for us in the gospel, and he calls us to share in its blessing. And so we're to seek to bless others in small but real ways in his name. We're to seek to participate in the blessing of the gospel, and we do this in countless ways, by welcoming the stranger, caring for the immigrant, loving the widow and the orphan, the single moms and dads, serving the poor. When we serve, when we joyfully and sacrificially give our lives away for the sake of the gospel, we participate in its blessing and in its flourishing and in its life in the world. And so my prayer for you is that you'd become more intentional in sharing in the blessing of the gospel, especially through service, especially by serving the poor. There's lots of opportunities for us to do this well, even in Southwest Austin. And my prayer is that you become more and more a church that thirsts for chocolate milk and that is eager to share this chocolate milk with others. Friends, we've been through a lot in the last 6 years. We've taken on new staff. We've had staff leave. We've moved to a new campus. We've grown. We face many challenges and difficulties. We've welcomed new people. Some people have left. Some have died. Some have been baptized. Some have been married. Others have divorced. Some have welcomed new children. Others have had to mourn the loss of children. Some have overcome their addictions. Others continue to be addicted. Some have lost jobs. Others have taken new ones. And over the next 6 years and 60 years and on, this cycle will repeat itself in the life of this church. As you continue as a community, go through all of the ups and downs of life, all of the highs and lows, pursuing your missionary calling, embodying the whole gospel to the whole person, and participating faithfully and diligently in gospel blessing. Friends, it's been a joy, it's been a privilege, it's been an honor to be one of your pastors. And I'm going to miss putting on this robe week after week and serving alongside you. But I look forward to continuing to share life with you in many, many different ways. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you so much for your life, your love, your presence among us. Thank you that the risen Christ cares for his people and gives us his Spirit. Continually give the Spirit of Christ to this community, to our pastors, leaders, staff, households, children. Help all saints to more faithfully and more intentionally pursue her missionary calling, joyfully, diligently, sacrificially, eagerly, especially amongst the unchurched, the dechurched, and the nations and our Latino neighbors. Help all saints to embody the whole gospel to the whole person and all that she does as a community, and help her to more fully participate in gospel blessing, especially in service to the poor. We pray all this in the name of Christ, who loves us and cares for us more than we can know or imagine. Amen.